Elder Hunter was born in Boise, Idaho, in November 14, 1907. He attended elementary school and high school in Boise, after which he was a student at the University of Washington. In June of 1931, he married Clara Mae Jeffs in the Salt Lake Temple. Having moved to California, he entered Southwestern University in Los Angeles to study law. He attended school 5 nights a week, getting up at 5 a.m. and studying all day Saturdays, and in 1939 was graduated with a degree of Bachelor of Laws, cum laude. After graduation, he became a member of the Los Angeles and California State Bar Associations and became a leading corporation lawyer in that area. He has been legally affiliated with the Juvenile Department in Los Angeles and is on the board of directors of a number of large industrial and land-holding corporations and of the Beneficial Life Insurance Company of Salt Lake City. It is reported that Elder Hunter was the second boy in the state of Idaho to become an Eagle Scout, and for many years he was associated with the scouting program. In 1940, he was sustained bishop of the El Sereno Ward in Los Angeles, in which calling he served for 6 years. Subsequently, he was president of the High Priest Quorum, and then later a member of the High Council of the Pasadena Stake. From 1950 to 1959, he was president of the Pasadena Stake. While serving as stake president, he was also chairman of the Southern California Welfare Region, and when it was divided, of the Los Angeles Welfare Region. He was called to serve as a member of the Council of the 12 Apostles on October 10, 1959. It is now our pleasure to hear Elder Howard W. Hunter of the Council of the 12. Elder Hunter.
Thank you, Dean Young.
President Taylor, faculty, and students, all of you being my brothers and sisters, I am grateful for this privilege that comes to me today to stand in this great field house at this devotional. I bring you nothing startling today. I merely came down to chat with the students for a little while this morning as we relax together from the busy affairs of the day during this hour of devotion. You're living in a wonderful age. You're living in a wonderful time of your life. I often think of our lives as I see the sun cross the sky. I think of the period around dawn as that time of birth and childhood. And I believe you live in that day when the sun has broken through over the tops of the mountains and is giving you light and warmth in the early part of the day of your lives. The whole day lies ahead of you, and to be worthwhile, it takes planning and thought. And I believe that that's where you are now in life. During that time when you are giving thought and planning to the remainder of the day that lies ahead. As children, we were cared for, and all things were done for us. And then came the time of teenage, then into the period of youth, and then into this period of life that you find yourselves as university students. We came to that point in life when we commenced to think and do for ourselves. We suddenly learned that we had likes and dislikes, and those began to take shape in life. Then we discovered that we had the power to think and act for ourselves, as distinguished from the care that had been given to us while we were babes and little children. Now, as college students, you're on the threshold of life itself. And the path ahead is becoming visible to most of you. I think it's during this period in life that the path commences to take shape, and we can see its outline, and we have a little better understanding of where we're going and what we're going to do. This is the time in your life for decisions. It takes a lot of careful planning, and you are here for some of these plans and these decisions that you must make to carry you forward in life. You've selected BYU as your university because of what it has to offer and what it can do for you. Education and academic studies. And then the great preparation for the spiritual side of life. I hope you have caught the vision of this side of your education as you have entered into these portals and have studied here. I am sure that you realize fully the value of education, as well as the values of spiritual life. But let's look backward for just a moment, if we will, to our childhood and analyze the things that gave us the greatest happiness when we were children. I'm inclined to believe that the things we enjoyed most and those that gave us the greatest happiness when we were children were the things that were given to us. When our parents went away and returned, we always looked for some little token that they would bring back to us. We looked forward to Christmas because of the things that we were going to receive. Our whole life was built around receiving that which our parents gave to us in care and attention, and also the many things that were given to us as little children. At that time, we did not understand the other side of giving. But sometime during our progress through this life, we come to that point when we suddenly realize that it is not the receiving that brings us happiness. To some, this comes early in life. To some, it comes later. And I am inclined to believe that there are some who never have this awakening during all the daytime of their lives. and they miss one of the great principles that brings happiness to us as we travel this day. When the time comes that we learn to share or do things for other people, life takes on a new vision for us. I am sure this has come to the lives of most of you. To some it comes when a young man goes on a mission and he suddenly discovers that he is giving of himself, of his time, his energy, and his means for the benefit of others. To some, this awakening comes at marriage. We have been receiving all of our life, and suddenly we discover that happiness doesn't come from this area at all, but from that which we are able to give to someone else. I am always impressed by the teachings of the Savior. He taught in simple, homely language. He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. This realization, of course, comes to us with maturity. And I am not sure but what it is this lesson in life that brings about maturity and changes us from our childhood ideas to the ideas and the ideals that come to us as we become adults. Now, giving doesn't always consist of material things. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "Rings and jewels are not gifts, but apologies for gifts. The only gift is a portion of thyself." In this sense, we have unlimited resources. I realize I am speaking today to persons of limited resources as far as material things are concerned, but it is no disgrace for a student to be poverty-stricken. As I view you, I look above material values and see in you the possibilities of greatness as you give of yourselves in life. I see young men preparing for missions. I see young men and young women preparing for marriage. Students qualifying themselves to serve their fellow man in business and in industry and in the communities and in society, wherever they may go after they leave this institution. I see many of you preparing for church service, and all of you preparing for the service of God throughout your lives. I think these are the great values. It's the little acts of giving as we go along that brighten our lives. The story is told by Thomas Dreyer of a man past 80 years who was seen by one of his neighbors as he was planting a little peach tree. "Do you expect to eat peaches from that tree?" the neighbor said. The old gentleman leaned on his spade and said, "No, at my age I won't. But all my life I have enjoyed peaches, never from a tree I'd planted myself. I wouldn't have had peaches, and other men wouldn't have done what I'm doing now. but I'm trying to pay the other fellow who planted trees for me. There are gifts that money can't buy that bring happiness to us in life. These gifts that we pass on to others are from these attributes that we acquire as we go through life, if we are thoughtful, first perhaps the attribute of thoughtfulness to others, and second, its close cousin, consideration for others. We must have courage. Courage to do the right thing always in our lives. Those who have a good nature enjoy life, a pleasant smile. Good nature begets smiles. Smiles beget friends. Friends are better than a fortune. We must have tolerance. I think of an old Indian prayer. Great Spirit, help me never to judge another until I have walked 2 weeks in his moccasins. We must have appreciation for those things that come to us in life, or we never find happiness. We enjoy life when we have the ability to praise others for their good works. George Matthew Adams said, "He who praises another enriches himself more than he does the one praised. To praise is an investment in happiness. The poorest human being has something to give that the richest cannot buy." David Dunn told the story of a man sitting on the doorstep of a house when a little girl walked by who looked so dejected. And as she went by him, he said to her, "That's a pretty red dress you have." And she looked up at him and smiled and said thank you to him, and then went skipping off down the street. And it was later that when he passed her house, she came out to the sidewalk and waved to him and said, "Hello, man." He had found a friend. And it's easy to find friends as we pass this way if we acquire the attributes that attract friends. They're some of our most priceless possessions. Robert Louis Stevenson said, "A friend is a present you give yourself." To find happiness, we must help others as we go through life. Elihu Root wrote, "I observe that there are two entirely different theories according to which individual men seek to get on in the world. One theory leads a man to pull down everybody around him in order to climb up to them to a higher place. The other leads a man to help everybody around him in order that he may go up with them. If we rise to success in life, it's because we have lifted others up with us as we went this way." I like to think of success as a journey, not as a destination. Happiness is found along the way of this journey. It's not at the end of the road. The time for happiness is today, not tomorrow. A century ago, Stephen Grillet wrote, "I expect to pass through this world but once. Any good, therefore, that I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any fellow creature, let me do it now. Let me not defer or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again." We are wise when we follow good example in life. If we pattern our lives after the example of those who have been successful in the important things of life, we must distinguish between the things that are important and those which are not. I've had the pleasure of sitting as a member of the Board of Trustees of the Brigham Young University with great men, men of importance, men that you admire, with President David O. McKay as the chairman of that board. Now, when I think of the leadership of this university, its presidency and faculty, I am impressed and thrilled by the advantage that you have as students in this great institution. Nowhere in the world can such a comparable situation be found, for there is no other. I am sure you all realize that the trustees, the presidency, and the faculty have an interest in you as students in this school. Every tithe payer in the church extends to you a helping hand, for I am sure that you know that the amount that you pay does not pay all of the cost of your education. Now, this is the spirit of giving. Those who have gone this way before are willing to give an extending hand to you, knowing that you will appreciate this and that the time will come when you will have the opportunity to reach back with your extended hand to help others come this way in life. And so it is that we share with each other, that we encourage each other, and we find happiness by the giving and not by the receiving. As Jesus was journeying toward Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, which stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God, and he fell upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? I sometimes wonder, as we travel through the life, if we are classed among the 9 who failed to express appreciation for that which comes to us in life. Appreciation is one of the great attributes that brings us happiness as we travel this way. Yet of the 10 who were healed, only one expressed appreciation. I had a sad errand to perform one day. As I went with a mission president to tell an elder in the field of the passing of his father, he met us at the door to tell us how thrilled he was with the work of that day and what had been accomplished. And then we asked him to sit down for a moment and delivered the message. I shall never forget the experience and what he said. He said, "I've learned a lot of things since I have been out in the field and had time to think them through. I wish that I could have talked to my father one more time because I have so many things to tell him." And I think that's true of most of us in life. The letter that we didn't write, the word of appreciation that we intended to express but didn't take the time. So many little things that we could do as we went along to pick up the loose ends, to brighten our lives and to brighten the lives of others. And these are the lessons that we don't learn until we cross over this threshold in life where we learn that the words of Jesus were so true for happiness that it's more blessed to give than to receive. When we learn that lesson in life, we're on the high road. Our life changes, our attitudes change, maturity develops, and we are ready to face life. If each day we could be kind and courteous and thoughtful and express that to others, our circle of friends would increase. If we could forget the grumbling and all the other things that are negative to us in life and assume those positive things, how bright our lives would become. And we can do it if we merely follow the counsel of the Savior and think of Him and His life, lift ourselves by the inspiration of the Spirit if we will live close to it. He will bless us and walk with us and extend His hand to us. And life would become what we would like it to become. High, noble, and elevating. May the Lord bless you as students to catch the vision of the lesson of this great university. I humbly pray in Jesus' name. Amen.